Can you give that to me afterwards?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة وتسليما يليقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد آتينا بني إسرائيل الكتاب والحكم والنبوة ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على العالمين وفضلناهم على العالمين صدق الله العظيم سورة الجاثية verse number 16 الله سبحانه وتعالى makes it very plain. We are still busy with our topic, who are the Jews? And we have spoken about them in detail with regards to ethnicity. We have looked at their lineage, going back to Abir, from where we get Qahtan and Falagh, Qahtan being the father of the Arabs, and Falagh ending up with Ibrahim, Ishaq, Ya'qub, and Yehuda, from where we get the word Judah, from where we get the word Jew. We also looked at it in the broader aspect of things, looking at Semites and Hamites, Sam, Yam, and Yafeth. Sam, from where we get all the Semitic tribes, Ham, from where we get all the Hamitic tribes, Cush, being the first main African empire to be established, from where we get most of the African tribes, and Yafeth, from where we get most of the European tribes. And we all believe that we all go back to Nabi Nuh, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yusarrih. Allah makes it very, very clear and plain and simple when He says, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. And we made His progeny the only survivors. So we all go back to one of these three brothers. As for Kan'an or Yam, the one who was drowned because he disbelieved, the fourth son of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. So now the question, who are the Jews? We have found that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them in the Quran as Al-Asbat four times, Asbatan once, Al-Yahud seven times, Hudan three times, Al-Ladhina Hadu 10 times, Bani Israel 69 times, and in the term Ahlul Kitab 31 times. Why do I say in? Why? Because Ahlul Kitab is for both Al-Yahud and Nasara, for both the Jews and the Christians. I said today I was going to clarify as to where the split comes or where this new title is taken on of Yahud. Because Bani Israel, when we speak about Bani Israel, we're not speaking about only Al-Yahud. Al-Yahud would only be one of the Asbat. Al-Yahud would be only one of the 12 tribes. There are still 11 others. And for those of you who weren't here for that lecture, if we remember some of the names of the 12, Rivyun, Shimyun, Levi, Dan, Jad, Naphtali, Asher, Yisaskar, Zevulun, Yusuf, and Binyamin. These are the 11, and the 12th one, which is the one that now becomes symbolic of Bani Israel, is that of Al-Yahud. Al-Yahud. Today we started with a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Bani Israel. or reminds them of his favor on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse number 16, and indeed, most verily, most certainly, we gave to Bani Israel, the children of Jacob. Israel is the laqab, is the nickname of Ya'qub, of Jacob. Israel meaning Abdullah, the servant of God, the slave of Allah, Jalla fi'ula. We gave to the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, we gave to them the 12 tribes, we gave to them al-kitab, the scripture, wal-hukma, and we gave them authority, we gave them kingdom, we gave them rule, wal-nubuwa, we gave them prophethood, we gave them revelation, wa-razaqnahum min al-tayyibat, and we sustained them with the good things, wa-faddalnahum ala al-alamin, and we favored them over all nations. We favored them over all nations. Now the history of Bani Israel is one of trial, tribulation, and deliverance. And in that trial and tribulation, there was always a group believing, and there was always a group disbelieving, transgressing. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ And we seek refuge in Allah, even killing the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's another verse in Surah Al-A'raf. وَمِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ Allah. And of the people of Musa, referring to Bani Israel, there is a group, a nation that guides with the truth. وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ And with that truth, they do justice. They rule by that truth as well. In the time of Nabi Isa, فَآمَنَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَكَفَرَتْ طَائِفَةٌ And a group from Bani Israel believed, and a group from Bani Israel disbelieved. So I'd like us to, inshallah ta'ala, just take a brief trip through the history of Bani Israel, through the lifespan of Bani Israel. If we look at the basic timeline, and I've taken some rough estimates that have been narrated in terms of when that timeline begins, because it's all going back to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, we've spoken about falagh, from where we can trace the progeny that ends up with Yahuda, and Qahtan that ends up with Ya'ruba, Arabs and Jews, ethnically. But we also know that there is a connection that comes together via Ismail and Ishaq, the two children of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ishaq, Ya'qub, Bani Israel. Ismail, and this is important for us just to put somewhere here at the back of our heads for the moment, the back of our minds for the moment, that Ismail, who is indeed a Nabi and a Rasul, a prophet and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who wasn't an Arab, but like in the hadith, تعلم العربية من قبيلة جرهم, that he learned the Arabic language from the tribe of Jurhum, whom he married into. So he was Arabized. And from that progeny, we find that there is born a man by the name of Fahr, which is Quraysh. So Quraysh comes from the Arabized Arabs, from the nasl of Ismail, going back to Ibrahim. Just like Bani Israel, going back to Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim. So there's that connection via Hud, Abir, Qahtan and Falah. And then there's also that connection via Ibrahim, Ishaq and Ismail. And I always say that after everything has been said, the story of the Jews, and I'm speaking about the Jews today, is very similar to the story of Quraysh. Because if we take Quraysh and Fahr being the father of Quraysh going back to Adnan, and Adnan going back to Ismail. Are you with me? Fahr is Quraysh. Going back to Adnan, going back to Ismail. That if we take that during the time of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he received his prophethood, and even at the time when he received it, until Allah gave him victory and he emptied the Kaaba of the 360 idols, what were the Quraysh worshipping? Were they worshipping Allah? No, they were worshipping idols. They were idol worshippers. Yet their ancestor, Fahr, Quraysh, Adnan, Ismail, Ibrahim, their ancestor Nabi Ibrahim is our patriarch of Tawheed. He's the symbol of our Tawheed. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah has spoken the truth and follow the religion of Abraham, meaning the faith. I made this very clear that when we take our kalima shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La ilaha illallah is the faith. Immutable. Doesn't change. Why doesn't it change? Because Allah doesn't change. And whatever messenger came, then it would have been La ilaha illallah Nuh Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Ibrahim Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Musa Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Dawud Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Isa Rasulullah. And the second half of the kalima would be وَجَعَلْنَا شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. And that we have made for you shir'atan wa minhaja, a law and a way. So in the time of Nabi Nuh, he would have been the law and the way. Nabi Ibrahim, he would have been the law and the way. Nabi Isa, the law and the way. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with him comes the culmination, the completion, and the perfection until the last hour. Until the last hour of the law and the way. And that's why in order to be a Muslim now, you have to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot say, no, but I'm still following Musa, I'm not following Muhammad. Then you're not a Muslim. Because you've disbelieved in the messenger of Allah. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. We don't differentiate between any of them. But I just wanted to make that distinction very clear. So in terms of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and then Ismail and Ishaq, we find that Quraysh are worshipping idols, yet their ancestor Ismail and his father Ibrahim were muwahidun, Muslimun. Ma kana Ibrahim yahudiyan wala nasraniyan walakin kana hanifan musliman. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Abraham was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian. Now, having learnt where the word Yahuda, or where the word Jew comes from Yahuda, now you can understand why Allah is saying that Abraham cannot be Yahuda. Because Yahuda is his great-grandson. How can he be his great-grandson? But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking specifically about this new religion that emerges after they return from Babylon. But inshallah we're going to get there. So, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. He couldn't have been a Yahudi. Why? Because the name Yahud only appears with his great-grandson. وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. And he couldn't have been a Nasrani. Why? Because Nabi Isa alayhi salam, who was from Nasira, Nazareth alayhi salam, he was also not yet born. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا. But he was pure in faith. What does pure in faith mean? He was a muwahid. La ilaha illallah. Al-hanf huwa al-mail. Hanf, the word hanf, means al-mail, to turn away. Because Nabi Ibrahim, he turned away from the worship of everyone and everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he becomes the symbol of tawheed. Nabi Ibrahim becomes the symbol of tawheed. حَنِيفًا. In other words, he believed in the indivisible divine unity of Allah, Musliman, and he submitted and surrendered to Allah. Musliman. You know, our deen is not named after anyone. It's named after the action of total submission and surrender to the one Almighty Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Quraysh, whose ancestor is a Muslim, Nabi Ibrahim and Ismail, establishing the indivisible divine unity of Allah, but then Quraysh go astray and start worshipping idols. Muhammad comes sallallahu alayhi wasallam and brings them back to Tawheed. Likewise, what happened with the Jews? The origin of the Jews is likewise going back to Ishaq and Ibrahim. Ibrahim, Abraham, Hanifan Musliman, a true believer in the oneness of Allah, submitting and surrendering to Allah. Yet they went astray by killing the prophets of Allah, by transgressing the boundaries of Allah, by disobeying Allah. And so when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the Jews, he is saying to them, come back. Just like he is saying to Quraysh, come back to Ismail, the son of Abraham. So he is saying to the Jews, come back to Ya'qub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Abraham. Can you see the parallel in terms of the da'wah? And we are saying it to the Jews today, come back. Come back to your asl. Islam is the origin. Let me make it very clear. Because very often, you know, we get caught up in this dialogue of the Abrahamic faith. First Judaism, then Christianity, and then Islam. No. Inna ad-deen 'inda Allah al-Islam. The only belief and way of life acceptable by Allah is Islam. Total submission and surrender to Allah. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقَبَلَ مِنْ Whoever chooses another way of life, Allah says further down in Surah Ali Imran, it will not be accepted from them. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And in the life hereafter, you'll be of the losers. So all we are saying to the Jews who are following this religion called Judaism, which is not Islam, the one that they are practicing today, or the Christians, this religion, Christianity, which is not Islam, but yet if we trace the origins of Judaism and Christianity, they go back to Islam. The origin is Islam. The origin is Abraham, Ismail, Ishaq, Ya'qub, Yusuf, Musa, Harun, Dawood, Sulaiman, Isa, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Even the Christians, Christianity is based on the teachings of who? Not the teachings of Christ, on the teachings of Paul. And that's another topic for another time. But I can prove it to you from the epistles, from the 14 books of Paul. He says, what I preach to you, I have not received from any man, nor have I been taught it from anyone. In other words, he is saying that this message doesn't come from the disciples, because he was with James, he was with Jude, he was with Peter, he was with Barnabas. But he's saying, what I'm preaching to you, I have not received from them. In fact, he claims to have received it from Jesus himself, which is a total lie, and he has nothing with which to prove that. Because if you claim to receive revelation, he says, but by revelation from Jesus Christ, Paul claims. But yet he has no miracles to prove it. If you receive revelation, you must have the miracles to be able to prove it. But yet Paul was with the disciples. The disciples, al-Hawariyun, who said what? وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ لِلْحَوَارِيِّينَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَشْهَدَ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ And call to mind when the disciples, or when Jesus, عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ, Jesus the son of Mary, said to the disciples, الحواريين, who are my helpers calling to Allah? They said, we are your helpers calling to Allah. We believe in Allah and bear witness that what? بِأَنَّا, say the word, Muslimun, that we are submitting and surrendering to Allah. That's why I say even Christianity, Catholicism, the word Catholic means universal, because the Holy Roman Catholic Church was the first church established after the gathering of Nicaea, the first council of churches, the Council of Nicaea in 325 of the Common Era. That's when modern day Christianity really began. But again, Christianity and Judaism can trace its roots back to who? To Abraham. Who's Abraham? Hanifan Musliman. Islam. Islam is the origin. So all we are doing is we are calling them back. Come, brothers in humanity. Come, my Jewish brother in humanity. Come, my Christian brother in humanity. Come back to the haqq. Come back to the truth. This is the da'wah. And this is what we are responsible for, with wisdom and good speech. So let's just go through a brief timeline of Bani Israel. And if we are speaking in terms of dates, and I'm giving you very rough dates here. Very rough dates. Nabi Ibrahim, about 2000 BC. Nabi Yusuf would have been, of course, the great-grandson of Nabi Ibrahim. Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf. And Nabi Yusuf, remember, became the minister over the treasury. He was the minister of the treasury of Egypt. You see, the Fara'ina, the leaders of Egypt, they were worshipped. They were worshipped by their people. The next tabaqa would have been the ministers. And of course, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, being a Nabi and a Rasul of Allah, he only worshipped Allah. But because of his knowledge and his great wisdom, they made him the minister over the treasury. And when eventually his 11 brothers, and I made mention of that last week, when they came with their father and their mother, when they came to Egypt and they repented, the 11 brothers, or the 10, remember Binyamin wasn't involved in the throwing of Nabi Yusuf into the well. But when the 10 brothers, when they repented to Allah, and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam said to them, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm," there's no blame on you today. Yaghfirullahu lakum, Allah has forgiven you. And then they all lived together in Egypt. But, and I don't know exactly when, but they estimate about 1750 BC, this occurred. When Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he now passes away. And then the progeny of the 12, the progeny of the 12 of the Asbat, the 12 tribes from the 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob, Yaqub alayhi salam, they are then enslaved by Fir'aun. They don't know exactly when that took place, but it took place in that time frame. From about between 1750 BC to about 1350. Because they estimate that between Nabi Yusuf and Nabi Musa, about 400 years. Allahu alam. Allahu alam. These are just rough estimates, so you can get an idea. Approximately 400 years. Bani Israel are enslaved. Why? Because they say that the Egyptians were a mujtama munghaliq. Munghaliq meaning very xenophobic at that time. Not today. If you go to Egypt, very loving and warm people, the Egyptians. But in those times, كانوا منغلقين. They were very closed community and very xenophobic. So Bani Israel, not being of them, eventually Fir'aun decided to exploit them, enslave them, and use them and abuse them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi Musa about 1350 BC to take them out of that bondage. And let me just get my timeline in front of me here. Yes, so Nabi Yusuf is minister in Egypt, knowledge and wisdom. Between Yusuf and Moses, between Nabi Yusuf and Nabi Musa alayhi salam, about 400 years, Bani Israel is enslaved. Nabi Musa is sent to save them, to take them out of bondage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to strike the Red Sea. Allah makes a path, or 12 paths, one for each of the tribes. And with him were many disbelievers. Listen, you need to understand this. Because being slaves, you, unless you are, I mean, I think our society is a very, very good example. How Islam survived in Cape Town. Allahu Akbar. Wallah is a karama min Allah. That's why we call these great people karamat, that are buried on the shores of Cape Town. Not that they've got any power. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power or might except that which belongeth to Allah. But karamat, in the sense that, because a karama is something special that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to his servants. I'll say the karama of the Muslims of Cape Town is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them such strong iman that they survived with their deen intact against all odds. Can you imagine if you were caught in Cape Town during the time of the Dutch, during the rule of the Dutch from 1652 to 1795? If you were caught praying in the open or inviting people to Islam, you would have been taken to the castle, to the dungeons. You would have been strung up. You would have been tortured in the most brutal fashion. Then you would have been dragged by horse. You would have been dragged on the ground by a horse from the castle all the way to where? To Gallows Hill, where the traffic department is in Greenpoint. There used to be a hill there, but then when they built the traffic department, they took the hill away. It was the highest point. Because they wanted to put the Muslims that were caught on display. They were a Calvinistic community. Very, very staunch, puritanical, Protestantism, the Dutch. And all other forms of worship were banned out in the open. They could do it in secret, but in the open, if they were caught, and especially if they were caught calling others to Islam, this would be their punishment. Taken to Gallows Hill, they would then be crucified, broken from the feet up, and then they would be hung. Can you imagine? You know, how many people lost their iman out of fear? But for me, subhanAllah, when I read this history, it is a karama, it is a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made steadfast certain individuals in our community that we can be Muslimun today. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and grant them the highest places in Jannah. Ameen. So there were many disbelievers with Bani Israel. Many of them had abandoned their faith because the faith of the slave is the faith of the master. So many of them became disbelievers because around them were people worshipping idols, worshipping the sun, worshipping so many other things but Allah. But a few of them remained steadfast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِي. And nobody believed with Musa. Nobody believed in the message of Musa. And this comes in the time when he's now taking them out of bondage, over the Red Sea, into the Sinai Desert. Nobody believed except for ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِي. Except for a few from his people. Except for a few from his people. And that is why when they got to the other side, what did they want? لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. They say, we will never believe until we can see Allah with our own eyes. They say, this is one of the, and if you read through the history of Bani Israel, it's one of their biggest problems. Al-Madiyin, materialists, say, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. For those that disbelieved. Always a group that believed, and always a group that disbelieved. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he caused their death and he raised them up again and they repented. Then they were divided again. Well, they were in their 12 groups and they were in the Sinai desert. And it can you in the blistering heat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Nabi Musa alayhi salam to strike the rock. And what springs forth? 12 springs from which they each tribe could drink. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a cloud to cover them. A ghamam to cover them. It's all, I'm giving you this timeline from the Quran. I'm giving you this timeline as it is in the Quran. And he sends down al-manna wa salwa. Al-man is a type of honey substance, manna from the heavens. Wa salwa, a very sweet type of bird that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them. And they eventually went past the people worshipping idols. And they asked Musa to make for them an idol. So Musa, in his shauq, in his longing to speak with Allah again, he leaves them with his brother, Nabi Harun alayhi salam, and he goes up Mount Sinai to receive the alwah, to receive the Ten Commandments. And when he gets back, what does he find? He finds that instead of waiting for Musa to make for them an idol, they've made an idol for themselves. And the one who made it, As-Samiri, as in the Quran, As-Samiri, is the one who told them to gather all their gold, melt it down, and make a calf, a golden calf, and they worshipped that calf. Nabi Musa comes back and he throws the alwah, breaks the the tablets after finding them worshipping the golden calf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Kill yourselves. In Tafsir Ibn Kathir, those that didn't worship had to kill those that worshipped. Those that didn't worship the golden calf had to kill those who worshipped the golden calf, and that was tawbah for them. Tawbah for the ones that worshipped, and tawbah for the ones that stood by and watched them worshipping it. Then they took the mithaq, the covenant with Allah, and that was in which to means to implement, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to implement the commands in the Torah into their lives. And then they are in the desert again. They are not satisfied with manna and salwa anymore. Alas it freedom at krif and boat. You know? What do they want instead? They want cucumbers, and they want herbs, and they want corn, and they want lentils, garlic, and onions. They're not satisfied with honey and bird. I mean, this is the salwa, it's a special bird sent from the heavens. But they're not satisfied. That's why من لم يعرف النعم بوجدانها عرفها بفقدانها. Ibn Ata'il al-Iskandariya says, the one that does not recognize the favor of Allah when it is with them will only recognize the favor of Allah once it has left them. Another hikmah, he says, من لم يشكر النعم فقد تعرض لزوالها ومن شكرها فقد قيدها بإقالها. The one that doesn't give thanks to Allah for the favors that they have must get ready to lose those favors. And the one who shows gratitude and gives thanks, indeed they have secured those favors for them. So they were ungrateful. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what they asked for. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ. Do you want to replace that which is worse than for that which is best? And so they were given what they asked. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to enter a qarya, which according to some of Fasirin is Bayt al-Maqdis, but according to others, not yet. According to others, not yet. That the city or the qarya, the village or the town that they had to enter now was the town of Midian, where Nabi Musa had already been many years before, if you remember. وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. And they were commanded to enter the door of this village, prostrating themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةً. حِطَّة meaning, oh Allah, forgive us. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. And we'll forgive your sins. Enter the door, prostrating, and ask for forgiveness, and we'll forgive you. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. But instead of saying hitta, they said hinta. Hinta. It's like habba, like a seed. But then they did it. They said it mockingly. Instead of asking Allah for forgiveness, they said a word which mocked that which Nabi Musa had told them to do as a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they entered with their backsides through the door. فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِجَزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a punishment for those people, destroyed them from the heavens. So then they remain in Madian, and that was the time of the story of Qarun. Remember the story of Qarun? And the story of the travel of Nabi Musa with Khidr. And they stay in that place for a time, and then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to enter the promised land. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the tongue of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Ya qawm idkhulu al-arda al-muqaddasata allati kataba Allahu lakum wa la tartaddu ala adabarikum fatanqalibu khasirin. O my people, enter the holy land which Allah has assigned to you. Now very interesting, very interesting. According to the Jews in the Old Testament, this holy land of what we know today as Palestine, Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa. By the way, it only became known as Syria, Palestinia, in the time of the Byzantines. In the time of the Byzantine Empire. That's where we inherited it from, because we took the land from the Byzantines. When Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he received the keys of Bayt al-Maqdis, he received it from who? From the Byzantines. And the land at that time was known as Syria Palestinia. That's where the word Palestine comes from. But before the Palestinians were Al-Kana'aniyun, were the Canaanites. And Kana'an is the son of Cush, the son of Ham. And according to the Jews in the Old Testament, this is land that was promised to the sons of Sam and not the sons of Ham. And that is why Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded that his progeny should take the land that was promised to him and his ancestors. Going back to Sam, the son of Nuh alayhi salam, and not to the sons of Ham. Well, I mean, and this is not nothing to do with, this has got nothing to do with qawmiyyah. This has got nothing to do with nationalism or qabaliyyah or tribalism or unsuriyyah or racism. This has got to do with a simple favor that Allah granted the children of Sam. Because all of the anbiya mentioned in the Quran were either sent to Bani Israel, going back to Sam, they are Semites, or sent to the Arabs, Ya'ruba, Ibn Yashjuba, Ibn Qahtan, Ibn Falakh, Ibn Shalakh, Ibn Arfakhshad, Ibn Sam, Ibn Nuh, going back to Sam, who also Semites. Arabs are Semites, Jews are Semites. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored, He's granted favor to the Semites in that all the Anbiya that are made mention of in the Quran was sent to the children of Sam. And that land was promised to them at that time. So this is the land that they have to enter. But who is there? He said, my people, enter the holy land which Allah has ordained for you, and do not turn back from then, you will turn about as losers. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ وَإِنَّ لَن نَدَخُلَ حَتَّى يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنَّا دَاخِلُونَ. They said, oh Moses, indeed, within it is a people of tyrannical strength, and indeed, we will never enter it until they leave it. But if they leave it, then we will enter. Who's speaking about? Speaking about the Canaanites and the Philistines. The Philistines, who were a seaworthy people that have roots in the people of Ham as well as in the people of Japheth, an Aegean community from the area of Greece. And when they came, the Philistines, they occupied five towns or five places: Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath. These are the five places that the Philistines took from the Canaanites. But some of the Kana'aniyun were still there. Some of the Kana'aniyun, the Canaanites, they were still there. So these were the peoples that were inhabiting this land when Bani Israel are now ordered to enter this land. قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينِ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَ دُخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Said two men from those who feared to disobey, upon whom Allah had bestowed favor, enter upon them through the gate, for you who have entered it, you will be predominant. In other words, you'll be victors. Allah is promising them victory if they enter. And upon Allah rely if you should be believers. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَن نَدَخُلَهَا أَبَدًا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا. They said, we will never enter it as long as they are in it. فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا. So go you and your Lord and fight. Indeed, we are staying here. Look at the kibr and the pride and the stubbornness. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي. So Nabi Musa says, oh my Lord, I don't possess control over none but myself. وَأَخِي and my brother. فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. So distinguish between us and the transgressing people. قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَا تَأْسَى عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. We're going to end here, inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this land will now be forbidden to them for 40 years. For 40 years, the land will be forbidden for them because of that stubbornness and that refusal to obey the command of Allah. It will be forbidden to them for 40 years. And they will remain wandering about on the earth. But according to some of the Mufassireen, this was east of the River Jordan. So they stayed in that area. They didn't go far because now they had to wait there. But they were moving around, waiting for 40 years until they could enter. But in the meantime, Nabi Harun passes away, Nabi Musa passes away. And then Yusha bin Nun, Joshua, he is then given the task of taking Bani Israel into the promised land. Until next time, wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Humbly ask the Jamaat to make dua.